Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke court. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? It's your boy, We Too Deep. And we back here with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. It's a little weird being here on Tuesday and not having Wavy D here, but we do know that he's out there, you know, training with the new job. As we explained last week, he won't be here this week or next week. He'll be a listener. And so that changes the way we do some things here on Tuesday. As I explained on the Friday episode, that the Tuesday shows will be Raw and SmackDown reviews. Friday will be just a little bit more fun, more my ranting, talking about news and stuff like that. Let's jump right on in. We're not going to do a Let's Get Cooking. I like to do that with Wavy D so that we can sort of toss back and forth ideas. Of course, with him not being here, I ain't got no one to toss ideas back with as we do this. So we'll save that. We'll pick that back up next time he's with us. Just as a reminder, I will continue Thursday. We'll end with Thursday with this episode. But it will be a little bit different in that I'm not going to really explain who I'm voting for. I'll just toss out the matchups, send y'all to the Discord to vote, tell you guys the winners of last week, and we'll move on from there. Let's break in with let's start with SmackDown. And I'm gonna be honest with you, this episode of SmackDown was not hitting for me. And I just thought about this. Let's bag it up. Let's put this in reverse just a little bit. Let's back it up. Let's get some housekeeping. As always, if you're going to buy you some WWE merch, just like this Chase U shirt, which I forgot to take a sticker off. This literally just got here right before I click record. So we're going to wear the sticker. We'll just sit there and wear it. But this Chase U shirt just came in. You know, I like the black with the red lettering better than the red with the black lettering. I just like this look better. So as soon as this thing dropped, you know, I had to get it. You want to get that Roman OTC shirt, you know, any of the new Dom or Liv or any of that. I think Bailey just got a new shirt a couple months or weeks ago. Link through our affiliate page is in the description. First link in the description. Also don't forget, if you're listening on Spotify or any audio platform, leave us a review there. If you're watching on YouTube, like, share, subscribe. Comments are really important. If you like it, to get us in the algorithm, it's really based on the comments. And then don't forget, on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, is the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. They had to miss last week due to the fact that we live in, or James, Cody, and myself live in the state of North Carolina that had hurricane or tropical storm Debbie blow through, and some of us lost some power last week. And so they'll be back 9 p.m. Eastern time with that Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Can't wait to see what they have to say as AEW's pulling up into All In in 12 days. And so the link to that page is in the description as well. Now we can talk about SmackDown. Now that we got the all of that taken care of. I'll be honest with you. This episode of SmackDown, wasn't feeling it. I wrote down two notes. I wrote down two notes for this entire episode. The first note was sort of towards the beginning. Cody Rhodes comes out, starts talking towards the future, who his next opponent's going to be. And essentially, it comes down to he offers Kevin Owens an opportunity at the championship, in which Kevin Owens says, you know, I haven't earned this yet. Now, storyline, it sort of makes sense. You know, babyface doesn't make sense. Kevin Owens wants to be the guy who earns it. That sort of fits his role. But I have a question. If you were offered an opportunity to be the top of the business, because let's just understand, the title Cody Rhodes has, that's the number one title in the company. That's the A title. And if you were offered that opportunity, I don't care if it was against your best friend or not, are you not taking, logically, answer this, logically, are you not taking that? Why is Kevin Owens denying an opportunity at the Universal Championship? Because he didn't earn it. Guys, I don't understand this. I don't understand the whole story behind it. Then ultimately, of course, you know, he gets talked into it, and that's going to be the match at Bash at Berlin. But like, why is logically KO denying this? It doesn't make sense logically when you look at it. And so that was one of the little plot holes that I notated. And then the second is the Roman return, and more so the response to the Roman Reigns return and to SmackDown, right? You know, he comes in and everyone's expecting like a promo, I guess, because everyone was sort of a little bit down on what's going on, right? And some of us, especially us in the casual fan base, who understand what's going on, you know, Mike, Nerdy D, Wavy D, myself, sort of understand that we got months of this story we got to fill. We got to draw Bloodline Civil War at least out to Survivor Series, if not WrestleMania. And so you can't, you know, to lack of better verbiage, you can't blow the whole load on the first night. Roman's going to come out, do exactly what he did. Now, what I don't like is that it sort of ruins that tag division, but that tag division was already ruined. So I'm not going to blame Roman for that, right? And so Roman Reigns comes back and immediately overshadows the rest of the roster, right? He immediately takes his place back at the top of the card, at the top of the roster, right? He immediately comes in and one night takes back what is his, right? And so, which is, he is the top dog in the company. He is the big dog, right? And so, yeah, that's what SmackDown was to me, was the beginning, the end, and honestly, the middle, a lot of what happened in the middle was forgettable, not much to talk about. So let's talk about a little bit out of order from how it happened, but I wrote these things down and how I wanted to talk about them. Not everything from last night's Raw is going to be talked about. And so we'll go ahead and get this out of the way. I am completely done until further notice, until something important happens with this gimmick, completely done even talking about or thinking about the Wyatt Six. You come out, you have your first match last week, and we talk about it, and then you no show, you don't come in, there's no showing of you outside of a vignette, which is mad confusing. That whole vignette, you know, of Howdy or Bo staring at the screen, talking about all of this, mad confusing. Mad confusing. I'm done talking about the Wyatt Six. I'm done thinking about the Wyatt Six. I'm just going to roll my eyes every time they come on to the screen. Where were they? Just because Chad Gable's not at the show doesn't mean you don't show up at some way, shape, or form. That makes no sense to me. This whole gimmick, I was really hoping they were going to prove me wrong with this, and that they were going to actually turn this into something. Nah, they haven't. They've completely proven me right time after time after time with this gimmick in particular. that I don't know if they know what they're doing. It feels like a Bray passion project. And if that's what it is, it's not for me. So I'm just done talking about it. I'm done thinking about it. I'm done trying to pay attention to all the intricacies of it. If something happens, then it happens, and maybe we'll talk about it then. But at this point, if it's just going to be random-ass vignettes celebrating, like, oh, man, we showed up in Baltimore on the anniversary of when the Wyatt family showed up so many years ago in Baltimore. Like, I'm just, like, on this topic, like, I hate to say this, but I'm kind of glad that sadly, the anniversary of Bray Wyatt's death is on the 24th. And I'm kind of glad that's a Saturday and it's not a PLE day, because I feel like they would have like put that on like a, if it was like on a Raw or on a SmackDown or like if it was on a Raw, like I feel like the Wyatt Six would have just come out and like had the entire show for themselves type thing. And I don't see it adding to any of the actual plot line of the story of the show in and of itself. Right. The same critique I've always had over this gimmick, nothing new. So from this point forward, it's a something mind blowing happens where something of actual importance happens with this gimmick. I'm done talking about it, not talking about it ever again. Until something of interest actually happens. Speaking of interesting, let's talk about probably of the last two Monday Night Raws, the guy who's come out of both of these episodes probably the best, and that's Bronson Reed. This Bronson Reed character we have right now is just wonderfully done. Attacking Seth Rollins, attacking R-Truth, perfectly done. Similar to the type of booking I fantasy booked Bron Breakker after King of the Ring, there's exactly what they're doing with Bronson Reed. Of, you know, if you don't give me the opportunities, I'll take it. Pierce is now pissed off, threatening to suspend him. Sort of the same type of gimmick I gave for Bronson Reed, or excuse me, for Bron Breakker, but they're giving it to Bronson Reed. I love this. Bronson Reed's been one of my favorites since I saw him in NXT. He got cut and I thought that was a mistake. They brought him back. They didn't quite use him exactly the way that I would have. And now they're just making him a monster heel waiting to happen. If or when this eventual run-in with Bron Breakker happens, you need someone of this status. And we'll talk about Bron Breakker here in a minute, but you need someone of this status to beat Bron Breakker out of that championship, right? You need to build someone that's just as big as a badass to surpass Bron Breakker. And Bronson Reed, I feel, is in that spot. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's boring, this, that, and the third. Look, Bronson Reed is entertaining as hell right now. And his character is great, and the crowd's sort of loving it. And I'm down for it. I'm down for it, right? So Bronson Reed, like this push, this trajectory, I'm here for. We're looking at potential, you know, IC champion in the, down the line at some point. Speaking of the potential IC champion, let's talk about the old IC champion, and that is Gunther. So he comes out with Randy Orton. They have this sort of Randy's in the ring, and he's cutting some sort of promo. And I don't exactly remember exactly what he said when Gunther cut him off. And then they have this sort of exchange where Gunther essentially says that, you know, Randy, you're one of the greatest of all time. Starts sort of praising him. And then he sort of pulls the plug out by saying, well, you should be the greatest of all time, but you're wasted potential, right? And I know that got something out of, you know, if Wavy D was here, this would be a point we'd be talking about, because this is a point where he sort of lost interest in the game or in the promo. I actually think that this is a good line, personally, because the whole idea of Gunther and what he does is he... Gunther, I'm trying to think of a way to explain it to people that to me, it makes sense how I want to explain this, but I'm trying to say it in a way that makes sense for everyone to understand it. And essentially what I'm trying to say is Gunther's whole idea is mind games. And his whole thing, his whole shtick is I'm going to say things may or may not be true, but I'm trying to get Randy Orton emotional, similar to the same way he got Chad Gable emotional, similar to the same way, you know, Sami Zayn, he tried to make emotional, right? The whole idea is he plays on the emotions of the guy he's fighting against. And now, whether or not that's a smart idea against Randy Orton, that's a completely different topic. But the whole idea is you're trying to make, you're playing the mind games against the opponent. And it, again, this sort of, I saw the perfect tweet. I saw the perfect tweet the other day, or yesterday while watching it. And I want to try to pull this up right here. Let me tell you this much. Gunther is old school. He's not an indie goober, and he's not some typical WWE sports entertainer heel. He's a 70s type of heel. Think the Southern Territories. Most people that don't research those times will not understand him contextually. He is great. Exactly. Now, you don't have to do a lot of research to understand this gimmick. It's simple, sort of. Again, it's I said this last week. It's a throwback to the origins of wrestling prior to the TV days, where it didn't necessarily require a lot of the sports entertainer, right, aspect that Hulk Hogan and WWF, WWE and from 84 on sort of led to. That's what this is. And so I want people to understand when I praise Gunther, right, I titled this Respect Your Ring General. When I praise Gunther, it's not because I think he's, you know, some great entertainer. I understand the critique that he's boring. And it sort of seems like a cop-out to say, well, that's the whole point. But it is the whole point, the whole idea behind his gimmick. And for anyone out there who believes that I'm not the type of person that's, well, Gunther doesn't have a character. No, Gunther's character, Gunther's gimmick is the anti-gimmick. What I mean by that is the person he's playing, the idea behind the character that he's playing is I don't need all the flash and pomp and circumstances. I just need to be in the ring. And when you guys, you know, we sit here and we critique guys like Jey Uso, right? Because Jey Uso has the entrance and he has the entertainment factor, but the second the bell rings, he's sort of mid, right? And we say that by a lot of these guys. And you notice that I'm not a big fan of those guys, right? Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso. I like Roman, right? But I think Roman actually plays very well in the ring to what his gimmick's supposed to be. I think Jey Uso, so Roman Reigns has a big entrance, but he's also a big, in the ring, he has a presence, right? Jey Uso has a big entrance and it sort of just plateaus once the bell rings, right? Cody Rhodes, I feel the same way. Cody Rhodes is a little better, right? Sami Zayn, I kind of feel the same way, where like there's a huge entrance, huge crowd pop, crowd interaction. But then he gets in the ring and I don't necessarily view him as all that entertaining. Early Shinsuke Nakamura, early WWE days, right? To me, felt the same way, right? You have this huge entrance, but then the bell rings and it's not quite living up to that same standard, right? Whereas Gunther says, I don't need all the pomp and circumstance. I don't need the huge entrance, even though the entrance is actually really good. The music is highly entertaining. And it puts you in a mood. Like, I'll tell you something. Last Monday Night Raw that I went to in May, Gunther's music played. I stood up, you know, did the whole little salute he does with the hands behind his back. And Gunther's my dude, right? And I think that one of the big issues I think that WWE is running into it and Notorious Nerdy D mentioned this in his live stream after Raw last night, is that the music sort of gives him this sort of Russian communist, what he was trying to put at is like Nazi vibe, right? And that was, I feel WWE was leaning into that kind of by the name and by the music, but then they sort of, that remember when Gunther's name changed from Walter to Gunther, and then the music played, everyone was sort of backlashing against an idea of like the Nazis type thing. And I think they sort of are trying to put that type of character while at the same time not having that type of character, right? It's hard to do this 70s foreigner type gimmick with a German Austrian because it's immediately going to be met with, well, this is Adolf Hitler, right? It's a meat, right? And so it this gimmick is hard to completely go down that lane. And so I think what they're doing though is immediately making Gunther's appealing. It's a unique style that is not for all people, right? I don't think his promo skills are as bad as people are making them out to be. They're not the greatest thing on the roster, but I also think that like his promo work is actually pretty decent. His whole promo last night was trying to get under the skin of Randy Orton and talking about how his grandpa was a screw-up and his dad was a screw-up and Randy Orton's the biggest of the screw-ups, right? Now, this comes into the conversation I want to have. I think this makes it very interesting because Randy Orton, the mind games don't work on him because he sort of like he gets better and more dangerous when he's sort of unhinged, right? Whereas Chad Gable will mess up when you make him emotional. An emotional Randy Orton is the most dangerous Randy Orton. So what I think that does is it makes this match more dangerous. And that's where I think they're trying to head to, is that Randy Orton is now going to become unhinged Viper, right? To the point to where, because of his emotions, he goes back on what he says just last week, where he says, I'm not going to do this out of nowhere. You're going to see this RKO coming, right? To where this week, the RKO came out of nowhere because he was emotional. So you see, it's already working. But making Randy Orton emotional is a dangerous strategy because an emotional Randy Orton is a dangerous Randy Orton. But I think that makes it to where it kind of feels like Randy can actually win this match. And so I think that's the whole purpose that they're trying to do, is trying to get Randy emotional so that it feels like Randy has an opportunity to win this thing. Now, again, Triple H does this thing where like he overbooks segments and he inserted Drew and Punk here where Drew and Punk didn't have to be here. I didn't write this down, but let's go ahead and start to talk about like the Judgment Day. I feel like they just, Triple H looked at this and said, you know what? Judgment Day, we're gonna put the first 35 minutes as you guys, we're going to get you out of the way. And I think that that's sloppy. The Judgment Day story could have been sort of the string that held the whole show together and made it feel interesting, that kept people watching. But instead you had the Rhea Liv promo, then a beatdown, and then commercial, then a match, and then you sort of just forgot about the Judgment Day, right? And I'm not a big fan of that, considering that Liv and Rhea are going to be big heading into your next PLE of Bad Blood and probably Finn and Damian as well, right? And so a lot of your PLE in October with Bad Blood is going to be centered around Judgment Day and what they're calling the Terror Twins, which a lot of people like that name. I think that that's absolutely horrible. But yeah, I don't like that they just put everything sort of in the beginning of the show for the Judgment Day and we didn't get much afterwards. I think they could have spread, you know, start with the Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan promo and then lead that into where like Liv and Dom escape and later on backstage. They get caught. And then, of course, we have the Damian match and all of that that happens sometime at the halfway point that's already pre-planned. And then you just have a whole bunch of stuff leading into that keeps people interested with that story and with the show throughout the whole night, right? Instead of just putting everything for the Judgment Day right at the beginning and saying, okay, we got that done. Now, speaking of bad names, because Terror Twins is absolutely horrendous. I'm sorry. It's not a good name. Looks like Deaf Rebels naming groups now because it's awful. But even worse than that, you know, the group that the casual wrestling community and Wavy D, while he didn't coin it, it was sort of coined by, I think it was Mia Yim, Wavy D, Notorious Nerdy D, myself, Mike, casual wrestling fans, we've been sort of pushing the name The Stud Line, right? And then we come out here and Sonya Deville says the new name, and it's Pure Fusion Collective, which is essentially just grab three words from the dictionary, put them together, and that's what we're going to name them. Marketing-wise, this is bad. I don't know how you create a T-shirt that Pure Fusion Collective on it. I don't know how you expect, like, and now entering from blah, 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 representing the Pure Fusion Collective. It's a mouthful, right? It's a lot. And so I renamed them. I'm going to recoin them. We're still stick with the PFC, but it's pure fucking caca. And that's where we'll leave it with that. Like, the team itself was not interested because I don't care about any of the three on the list. And then you give them some shitty name and now you lose me even more. So yeah, I don't know how you overcome this. I'm sorry. It's just bad. It's bad. It's really bad. And then they come out and, you know, they have a number one contendership against Damage Control, and my girl Dakota's announced is out for like 8 to 10 weeks with a torn meniscus because her knee's fucking shot, dude. Both of them torn ACL, I believe. Meniscus now torn. Hopefully it's kayfabe and not real, but it sounds like it is. And damn, dude, like Dakota just hurt. I don't know, because she just came back from a knee injury, and now she has another one. And, man, it's just one of those things where, like, I don't know what to say about it, but it's kind of disheartening for Dakota, because she had a very promising career in NXT when she signed, and then just injury just sort of broke her down, to be honest. So, yeah, outside of the name, I ain't got much to talk about because this match ends in like a DQ. So we now have the title match. What was it? Next Monday. It's going to be a triple threat for the title between Damage Control, the Kaka team, and the Unholy Trinity or Unholy Union or whatever the hell they're called. On this topic, like, I don't know if I mentioned this idea or if this was sort of something I thought of on my way home as I was sort of prepping for this. WWE needs to make the women's tag team division completely on one brand. And I would move it to Raw. It's 3 hours. You can give it 20 minutes a night. Move every single women's tag team. The problem is that destroys, like, 25-30% of the SmackDown women's roster. So you would have to send some over in return. But Raw should have the women's tag division secure on there, right? Because it just becomes, like, you got the Unholy Union, and they're on all three brands, and you make a match on Tuesday, but you also make a match on Friday, so it sort of makes the match on Tuesday irrelevant, right? Because you know they're going to win. And so I don't know. But speaking of Tuesday, NXT, my boy Oba Femi showed up and they were promoting his open challenge that's tonight. And I can't wait to watch NXT here when I'm done recording this and getting it posted for you all. But I just, yeah, he was there. That was cool to see. I'm going to save the main event for the last point about Raw, but let's talk about what wasn't on Raw. And that was Jey Uso. For what feels like 3 out of the last 4 weeks, not on the show. I know he was there last week to give like Sammy like a pep talk or something. I don't know. But like Jey hasn't been in a match in like a month. He hasn't really been focused, like pushed the focus of a show all that often since Money in the Bank ended. Like, I don't know what they're doing with Jey. Like, it feels like they're slowly pulling him away to get him inserted into the Roman Reigns thing. And if that's the case, then I'm fine with it. But if that's not the case, I don't know what you're doing with Jey, because he's one of your biggest draws on that show, right? But let's talk about this main event, because this thing had me pissed off. This match pissed me off. Sammy versus Braun 3. 2 out of 3 falls. And Triple H again, for whatever reason, decides to say, well, Sami Zayn needs to be respected in the ring. He needs to be treated respectfully. He can't deserve to lose, right? Sami Zayn needs to win, no matter what. Or at least look strong in defeat. Guys, let me tell you how I book this match. You got Braun Breaker in 10 minutes wins the match, 2 falls to 0. Just absolutely, completely destroys Sami Zayn, wins the match. When he's done, he completely destroys him some more to the point where he has to be dragged out of the ring and Sami's, you know, stretchered out. Because I'm assuming the point is also to put Sami in this bloodline thing. Well, how do you do that and get him, you know, off of TV for a while to surprise the audience to be completely happy when he comes into this storyline with the bloodline? Well, you completely eradicate him, right? Sami Zayn can live with being that, like, completely destroyed. Whereas I feel like Braun Breaker's sort of badass character is at detriment every time he steps in the ring with Sami Zayn and goes 20 minutes and takes offense. The push Braun Breaker should have had is going to Bronson Reed. Like Braun Breaker needs to be this dude that just doesn't take offense all that. Like, I don't know what they're doing with them. And it's irritating because Braun Breaker theoretically is your number one star heading into Netflix. You know, you got Seth and you got Priest, but Braun Breaker's the future of Monday Night Raw, and you're treating him like he's mid-card, and he's not. The dude should just be on a quick sale. And why we have this, like, I know I mentioned this some other time, but I wish, now that Braun Breaker's IC champion, he should be able to go to Gunther and say, Gunther, I'm going to challenge you for the championship. And if I lose, then I won't be world heavyweight champion, but I also won't be IC champion. I'll give this up. And I feel like that should be a stipulation that your mid-card champions, like an LA Knight, can also use to try to get that world championship promotion, right? And that would give Braun Breaker a reason to, right, automatically be in the world championship match, right? And I've explained that at other times. So, yeah, I'm just not necessarily a big fan of how they've been booking Braun Breaker here recently. But that's Monday Night Raw. That's SmackDown review. That's what we got for you. We got one question from the Discord from B-Master, and it's, why does it seem like the mid-card outshines the main event? I don't think that this is a problem. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that this is a problem. The mid-card should be 90, or in my opinion, like 60% of your show should be mid-card stuff, right? Because your mid-card, to me, the idea of the TV show should be, convince me that I should watch the main event, but then also building that mid-card scene to where what's coming down the line, down the future, to where someone like a Bron Breakker can be built to be legitimate when he has to face Gunther, right? And so I don't have a problem with the mid-card outshining the main event on the weekly shows. Now, on the PLEs, it's kind of a dangerous situation if that's the case. I'll probably, you know, B-Master, shoot me some, like, in the Discord, send me some sort of examples of what you're talking about here. Maybe we'll address them next week as well. But I think Triple H understands that the mid-card has to be of high importance so that you have a consistent pathway to the main event. So that's the one question from the Discord. Let's end this thing with Thirsty Thursday. It's going to be a short episode and considering of what we typically do here. But Thirsty Tuesday, excuse me. Y'all, I really question some of y'all's taste. I really do. Y'all picked Danny Garcia over Finn Balor. This dude, I did not expect him to go this far, right? Of course, we got Logan Paul over Cody, Trick Williams over CM Punk, and MJF over Drew McIntyre. And so to end round two with the four matchups that are, as soon as I can pull these up. Give me 1 second. Had them saved and then it disappeared. They are Roman Reigns versus Ricky Starks, Grayson Waller versus Ludwig Kaiser, Takeshka versus Joe Hendry, and Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes. I'm gonna put those up. I'm gonna vote in the Discord. Y'all go vote in the Discord. Thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast, and I'll see y'all on Friday. Brother, I'm going. Run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moments.